Hi everyone, welcome to this bonus on the free range styles. Now I am here today with our special guest, Jeannie Patty. Hey Jeannie.
Hi Marianne.
And you already know Jeannie because you've read about her in the book. And Jeannie, you've been so important to me in developing these styles to work not just in theory, but also in practice with real people, you know, trying things out. And so I wanted to bring people in today who are really interested in the styles and applying it for themselves, obviously, and have a look at a few different things about figuring out your style, about what does it mean to be a certain style. But before we get into any of that, let's have a little chat about why we're talking about this in the first place, rather than just diving into what is the one smart idea right now that everyone in your industry should do, which is generally what happens at this point in a book of this type. It's like, well, to get started, the one thing everyone should do is email lists. The one thing everyone should do is networking. The one thing everyone should do is develop deep, trusted relationships. So, in your experience, like, what happens when people go down that route of trying to just follow the one size fits all path?
Well, I think you and I, you know, caught on to this years back. And one of the things I remember you talking about is we could put two very smart, dynamic people next to each other and have them do the exact same thing. And one person would be extremely successful and the other couldn't get a client for anything. And really, you know, that's where these case studies came from, is to try to figure out why are people successful, and what, ultimately I always lean to, why are people not successful? What's not working for them? So that's really where the case studies came from, and how, you know, again, we came to the idea, or the reality, that within three different attraction styles, we have found that we can plug people into those styles where it's a match and they become successful.
And what I love in how you and I have interacted, so you guys already have an idea of Jeannie from what I wrote about, and Jeannie's the one who is very good at being an expert, a deep expert with real in-depth knowledge on a topic. And one topic she has in-depth knowledge on is about what I call personality and what she calls temperament. So we might be using those two words in this bonus. And in Jeannie's experience with personality or temperament, and also the fact that I have a background in that, I found myself in a really unique position, just to give you guys an idea of where the styles came from. So for me, the moment the styles came to be was I started getting curious, much like Jeannie was saying, about why was it that some people would take a certain action and other people who were just as smart as them would take the same action and it wouldn't work. I was like, that doesn't seem to be, it's not always about motivation. Now, sometimes it is. Sometimes people aren't showing up and doing it enough. But sometimes they really are. So what could possibly be the difference? And so I started getting really curious. And one thing I had was, because I had written the first edition of Free Range Humans, I had access. So I had access to being able to talk to people who were out there and who maybe were prominent in what they're doing, who were flowing in what they're doing. And I was asking them purposeful and direct questions about where do their clients and income come from? Where did they come from in the past? All of these questions, being really, you know, clear about it, not just what's written on the website, which, by the way, often is just marketing. So you really have to have those relationships. So as I ask those questions, the other thing that allowed me to be a detective for you listening in now and create these styles for you to make use of was that because of the work Jeannie and I have done, I often knew that person's profile. So I would be able to match the information about where did their clients and income come from, where did their success come from, with knowledge about things like where did they sit on the MBTI, the Myers-Briggs scale, where did they sit on, say, the wealth dynamics scale, which is another profile that we use. And what, long story short, I quickly saw that there were matches in that information that we couldn't ignore, that it wasn't random, that these things were consistent. I was like, well, we could sort of say, well, you know, use all these other systems. We're like, but actually, as Jeannie said, there were three themes that came out, which were the three styles, the attractor, the connector, the trusted person. So I'm saying this as an intro to know this is not a random idea. This is something that is grounded in real conversations with real people of different types, but matching them up with, I guess, that data from different profiles. Which I know, Jeannie, is right up your street. So a few things about the mindset of the styles, Jeannie, I think it would be great to talk about. One thing we talked about a lot when we're developing them is when people see a profile, it can be very easy to assume we have to be all that thing. So, you know, you're an attractor, therefore you can't be a connector. And, you know, Jeannie, I don't know if you found this, but my experience has been that we are all of the styles, right? Like, we all have an element of every one of the styles in us. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there comes a business maturity with us as well that allows us the confidence to grow in the other two that we naturally aren't.
Oh, I completely agree. And I would say, if you're listening to this and going, if you're what I call a liminal person, like I mentioned in my TEDx talk, a liminal person, you might think, I am everything. And I'll be like, number one, yes, of course you are. Of course you're a bit of everything. So am I. So is Jeannie. But the point is, there is always one that is more prominent. And if you try to do all three of them, you'll end up backing up and just not being able to move forward at all, because you can't put your energy in three directions. And you'll also miss your ease, your power, the things that actually put you in flow. So what I'd suggest is, if you still want to do a piece of all three of them after hearing this audio, make sure that over half your time is spent in your primary style. That's all we're saying. Instead of saying, I'm going to split it this way and take this and that go, just make sure over half your time is spent in your primary style. And in practical terms, if that means taking one more action a week that you get an idea from as you listen in and read the book and do things in free range land, get one more idea of one thing you can do a week to take a step closer to your style, that is better than saying, oh my God, I can't see how to use my style 100% of the time, therefore I can't do anything. So we do not want anyone, there's this big sort of like I'm standing there at the door to the styles going, your public service announcement before you walk in, do not use this as a barrier. Use this as a curiosity point. How can you use this even 10% more this week and 10% more the next week? Because as you'll discover as we talk, it's that gives us so much more power to be in our flow. So Jeannie, let's talk about why, if we know, and you guys already know this from the book, we've talked a lot about flow and doing things as you, why don't people naturally just jump into doing things in line with their style? In your experience, why is it that a lot of us don't do that immediately?
I believe it comes from a couple different places. One is clearly self-awareness. Okay. And the second is confidence, and confidence comes from self-awareness. So it's really these building blocks that beautifully help you grow in your, in who you are as a human, as well as in your business and or your career. And it's these building blocks. But when we start with self-confidence, and it does start with temperament, you know, temperament is the foundation. And again, just a quick explanation on that. There's 16 of them. We're born with one, and we don't get to pick which one we are. We get the one we get. There are innate preferences.
Just a heads up on this. If anyone has not listened to the bonus with Jeannie in chapter 7, this is where she explains temperaments in more detail.
Continue. Yes. So it's our innate preferences. And once we understand those and then start aligning them with what we truly prefer, meaning our attraction styles that are very natural to us. And again, pulling in one or two, you know, little tools that might not be as natural to us as we gain our confidence. That is the road to success. And I literally now for years have seen clients, whether they build their own businesses and go out with their expertise on their own, or whether they become consultants, you know, for organizations, or get into a career they truly love, the attraction styles work for them. when they learn what these are and how to incorporate those into their actions, taking action every day with these like-minded people, it changes the game. It gets them over the finish line. And Absolutely. That is why I believe we've got that in your book this time, because it gives you answers instead of questions. And that is just outstanding.
And I think one of the reasons that we don't do it sometimes, even if we hear this and we like in theory, is very much go back to the earlier bits of the book. We talk about how we are raised in a culture where work is always meant to be really hard. And while I'm not saying that things will get magically easy when you use your free range style, I am saying that there's going to be an element about them that it feels like either, number one, it is too simple to work. So I can tell you now that as an attractor, I used to think that I had to be a connector in order to have value. And I thought I had to be a trusted person in order to have value. Like I would flip between the two. Thinking I have to develop these sorts of relationships, I have to work in this way. Those things are not natural to me. I can do them. I can totally pull them off, much like you can pull anything off you put your mind to. I'm sure we can do it, but it was just that extra slog up the hill. And so for me, the idea of attracting people in the ways we're talking about here just felt too simple on one set. So I just didn't let myself do it. We have so many stories of connectors I know who say, but chatting and like meeting people, that's not real business. You know, Selena Barker in the book gives that example, saying she didn't think it was real business. But and that's the idea, is that whatever you think isn't real business isn't like a proper valid step. Odds are someone who isn't your style is killing themselves to try to do that because it feels just hard enough for them for it to feel valid. And to me, that makes so little sense. When you think about it that way, it's like if we all spend our time trying to be like the other person, it's not about how valid that way of being is. It's just that because it feels harder, we think we should do it. So once you have that clear, you can just take away the idea of, oh, it's too obvious, it didn't sound complicated enough, it can't be real, and go, ooh, imagine if this wasn't innate to me. Imagine how much I'd be trying to do it. So that would be like, that's something I'd keep in mind. The second reason I think we don't honor the styles and don't do things in our flow sometimes is because it feels like it's not allowed. Right? As in, okay, fine. Well, maybe it's not like always easy, but it's not something I'm supposed to be doing. Like an attractor thinking I'm not supposed to be visible. That's like showing off. A trusted person saying I'm not supposed to spend time developing like close relationships. That's, you know, that's something I'm supposed to stop doing. Like, all these things we're supposed to be doing. That's the second reason we don't do it. And the third reason I think that we can listen to this, but not do it, would be not realizing the number of ways there are to pull it off within each style. And I think I wanted to sort of, as we go into more examples now, focus on that. So if you have read about this and you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, let's just say you're like, I'm an attractor, but I don't want to be loud. I'm seeing all these people be very loud as attractors. Well, just using that random example, something to keep in mind is that your style is not a playbook for every step you're going to take. It is a compass. So that means is someone might have a slightly different roadmap. They might be taking different back streets. They might be hanging out at different cafes on the way, to use that metaphor, but they're definitely going north. They're definitely going in the same direction. So what that might mean for you is just because you see someone who isn't fully you, but who has elements of your style, it doesn't mean you need to be a copycat version of them, okay? It means to say, what you're going to learn here and what we've already seen in the book is the elements that are core to every one of that style, like themes. And then there are so many ways to play them out. There aren't just three types of attraction. There are three themes of attraction, okay? So I would say the reason that people don't use this stuff is thinking I have to be just that one thing, and saying no, we're going to give you your theme, we're going to give you your playground in what we talk about here. And that means if you're playing out of your playground, you know to switch your time. If you're a trusted person spending all your time trying to build a huge brand, well, guess what, probably wasn't a great use of time, as you're going to discover. So you could actually take that out, but you could play within your playground and look at a few different ways you could do things. Does that make sense, Jeannie?
It does. And one other hint on top of all those tips that you just shared there is that the style by which you use your attraction style is most likely going to be driven by who you are solving problems for. So your client, your customer is going to even help define the style by which you're going to use your style.
Yeah, exactly, which is why it's so important to choose the ones that are a good fit for you as well. And also, you know, this is where we fold in temperament as well, right, Jeannie? So if we're going back to the Myers-Briggs MBTI, say people who, sticking with the attractor example, an ENFP attractor like me will be different to an ESTJ attractor. So, you know, all I'm saying here is there's not one profile that everyone is. This is a particular way of seeing attraction for clients and income, and seeing where you fit within that world, but you're going to have your own variation within it. But what we don't want you to do, and what most people do, is they spend 80% of their time on a different style. So I can't tell you without meeting you, you know, without working with you, like on a course or something, exactly where you're going to fit within that, the style that you are. But I can say odds are this should save you time. The 80% of time you're going to spend on a different style, this should save you doing that. That's kind of the, at least we know we're in the right direction. And the thing is, with free ranging, remember, we take action and we refine on the way. So it's much better to refine once you're on at least headed north rather than south, right? You can refine that direction more easily. So without any further ado, that's some of the mindset stuff, some of the thinking about, you know, why this is so effective. I'd say the very final thing I'd say on this is this stuff is super important, because once you have this mentality, I mean, I would challenge you from today, every time you read something about someone who's created something, every time you see something on TV, ask yourself, I wonder what their style was. And what you'll find is you'll see the world and examples in it through a whole new lens. Because at first it can be like everyone is meant to be this way. But you start going, gosh, you know, I didn't think that example there, you know, here's an example. I read a story the other day of an interior designer who had changed from being a stylist to an interior designer. And I read about it in like a mainstream interiors magazine, because that's the sort of thing I like reading. Anyway, so I was reading this magazine. I read this story and I was like, oh my God, she's a connector. It was so obvious. Now, in the past, without the styles, I'd have read that and go, oh, I'm curious, you know, how she built up her brand. And then I reread and I was like, she didn't build up her brand. Her entire story, and I'll tell this in the connector story, was a connector story. And once you see that, you stop putting the filter on of how you think a business should be built, and you start seeing stories for real. When you talk to people, you might find yourself asking different questions. So I think this will help in, I guess, that base of free range education as well.